All right, Father, thank you so much for getting us all here safely today, Lord, and we just invite your Spirit to do what only you do, to teach us and bring revelation of your word. Lord, as iron sharpens iron this morning, and we discuss your word together, Lord, we just thank you for those revelations you're going to bring to us. They'll help us to open our hearts to receive your healing through your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. So we've gone over in several weeks now talking about different things that keep us from receiving our healing, things that would help us to receive it. We started out with with Psalms 91 a couple of while back, where it said that those who make our dwelling in His secret place, meaning that it's not a place we visit, but when we choose to make intimacy with God a daily thing for us, it's where we live. It'd be abnormal to be out of that fellowship than to be in. And I don't mean out as in we jump in and out of who we are in Christ. That doesn't happen. But it's a choice that we make to remain close, to invite Him into every part of our day, to make Him our Lord and not just our Savior, right? And does everyone understand what I mean by making Him Lord and not just Savior? Anybody want to define that?
Go ahead and explain it.
Okay. So the difference between making Him your Lord and not just your Savior is if you believe in your heart that He is Lord, that He went to the cross and died for your sins and rose from the grave, and you confess that because you believe it, He becomes your Savior, right?
Yeah.
You're going to heaven, you have salvation. But when you make Him your Lord, then you're saying, okay, this is no longer my life, but yours to do with it as you will. Whatever your will is, Lord, I will do. In other words, you don't have the right to pick and choose what you're going to follow, although He doesn't force you to follow His will. You choose daily to follow His will and not your own, because He has a plan. And that's the life of faith that is constantly stepping out, even though you don't see how the end result is there, but you know that's where He's leading and you decide to go. Remember, Peter said that he was a bondservant of Jesus Christ, which meant that he was a slave of Christ out of love. Not because he had to be, because he wanted to be. That's basically what I'm saying. When Jesus is your Lord, not just your Savior, you become a bondservant of Christ. In other words, out of love, you decide that He's in control. He's going to guide your life. You're going to hear what His will is, and you're going to follow His will no matter what it is. And I don't think any of us hit that 100% all the time. I mean, I know we don't, because there are just times when we are afraid maybe to do something and we choose not to. And hopefully we get back on track real quick, but we all mess up from time to time and choose something else over the sovereignty of God, like His, okay, you're in control, you're in charge, Lord, I'm going to do what you want. But so long as we're not where we need to be, but we're heading that way, we're still heading in the right direction. Even Paul said, not that I've attained it yet, but I press on, right? But what we're getting at is that when you make Him your Lord, not just your Savior, that's how you live in the secret place. That's how you stay intimate, by allowing Him to be involved in every part of your day, not saying, okay, Jesus, you're in charge in this part of my life, but this part of my life is off limits. Every part of your life is not off limits to God, that every part is open to Him. And that's intimacy, right? I mean, when you're intimate with a spouse, everything is in the open, right? I mean, there's no way you can have that intimacy with another person that way without having everything just laid bare, right? It's all out in the open. Well, that's how an intimate relationship with the Lord is. Everything's open. Everything's on the table. It's all yours, Lord. That's the secret place, that place where we're walking in that intimate fellowship. That's where all those promises are there. And I found in my life that that's where those promises are there, to where I don't have to go asking for them. Lord, I need this, or Lord, I need that. They're just always showing up. Sickness doesn't grab a hold of me. It may try to, but it falls off. The blessings are just there because I'm seeking after him, not after the stuff. And it's like when I'm seeking after him and not the stuff, he pours the stuff on you. So those were the keys. We were talking about what are the things that steal those intimacies, and we talked about religion was one of the biggest things that steals that. Because religion is based on what you do, not what Jesus did, right? So who could describe to me the difference between religion and a relationship?
Religion is something you think you have to do to be right with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, rules and regulations.
But the relationship is ours already in Christ. Mm-hmm. God has. I had this thought this morning that God blessed me. God spoke a blessing over me. Just thinking about in the Old Testament, you know, like, you know, the Patriots, how they spoke a blessing over their sons.
Mm-hmm.
We're the sons of God.
Right.
And the blessing, he has spoken it over me. It's an absolute. He has spoken the blessing over me.
Right.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Just grab a seat. Good morning.
Good
morning.
Nice to see you.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, you're right. Religion makes it based on what you do. Like, if we maybe didn't hit the mark, like we're talking about, we don't always hit the mark 100% all the time. Well, in religion, when that happens, you feel guilty, right? And distant from God. Sometimes maybe you even might feel like an enemy of God. The Bible in Colossians says that we were enemies of God in our own minds, due to evil deeds, meaning that when we sin, we get a guilty conscience that makes us feel like an enemy, but it's just in your mind. It's not in truth. God, we're not enemies with God. There is no war between God and man anymore, especially those that follow him, especially. But in our minds, we could feel that way, right? So religion tends to steal our love and our trust from God. We were talking about trust is a big thing, to be able to receive the things from God. And it's hard to trust when you are on a works-based relationship, not a faith-based relationship. That Jesus has already done it for us, and because of everything he did, that's how we get things. Not because we did everything perfectly or not. Last week, Doris talked about fear, how we shouldn't have fear. And if you didn't hear that, then it's on the website, and you could go check that out. But one of the things we talked about with fear was love. That love casts out fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be able to receive God's perfect love for us. Because how can you receive healing from God if you can't trust him or love him, right? I mean, if you can't trust his love for you, it's hard to trust that he really already supplied healing for you, right? So we're going to go to 1 John 4 today. 1 John 4, 17 and 18. So religion, I want to point out, is based in fear.
How is that?
That's a good question, because I was going to say, how do you think I mean that? When I say religion is based in fear, most religion is, even if they don't realize they're doing it, is manipulation. They're trying to manipulate your behavior to get you to respond in a certain way so that you can receive the things of God. So there's always that fear factor there that, oh, if I didn't do it right, then maybe God won't do for me, right? So to some extent, religion is based in fear because of the manipulation. And like I say, I don't want you to feel like I'm saying that every church that doesn't understand grace that's based in some form of religion is trying to go around purposefully manipulating people, but they have good intentions, but from where they're at and the way they see the Bible, they find that's the way to get people to act right, and it's through manipulation. And you can see it real easy. I mean, if you can go into most churches, you can sit there and you can see, well, for instance, when they get up and they grease the wheel for 10 minutes to get you to give your tithe, it's manipulation, right? I mean, if you love the Lord, you trust the Lord, you'd be happy to give your tithe, you know? That's, you don't need to grease the wheels and manipulate people to give if they love the Lord. If you show them how much they love the Lord, you don't give to get. You give because you've got. And you're happy to give because you can never outgive God. He just keeps on pouring it onto you when you give. But that's manipulation when you got to go up there and, you know, grease the wheels and make people feel guilty for not tithing and stuff. Again, their hearts might be in the right place because they'll pick a bunch of scriptures and stuff too, usually Old Testament ones, and they're trying their best, but that's what I'm saying. Religion will work in a way of manipulation that makes you fear to get the purpose done.
That was one of the things I really liked about Hot Rock is that they don't try to get you to give.
Mm-hmm. We'll give you the opportunities.
I don't ever remember them giving any kind of a message like that. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
So God's way is based in love, not manipulation, fear, or whatever, right? Because how did you all come to salvation? Did you come out of fear or did you come out of love?
Both.
Love.
Some of us might have came out of fear. If we came from a church where they were making us feel like if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell, and they preached that really hard and that's all they ever preached, you might have come out of fear. My question then would be, did you really make a decision? And only the person would know. I think a lot of people when they are brought into salvation through fear, and I'm not going to say all, but a lot of people are there because they wanted to check a box to make sure they didn't go to hell. And they may not have really come into a real relationship with God. They might have just tried to get some insurance away from hell. And I'm not saying all, because I'm sure some of them did make a real decision out of faith and they believed, but they got there through fear. And listen, fear is going to, it's going to keep you from getting close to God and having all the things that God wants you to have, right? So it's not a good way to get somebody saved, for sure. Is it Romans 2:4? Is it? Don't you know that it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance? Mm-hmm. God's goodness will lead you to true repentance, not being afraid of Him. Okay, so let's go to 1 John 4:17-18. And let's look at love. Now, love in this is called agape. Does anybody know what the Greek word agape, love, how it is defined?
Like agape. Godly love, right?
God type love, yep. It's called a love feast. Mm-hmm. A love feast. Which paints a different kind of picture for you, but it says love, and it's always, again, is agape love. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, that's Christ, so are we in this world. So we can have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? So one day we're gonna go to heaven and meet the Lord, and there's going to be a judgment day, and on that day of judgment we can have boldness before Him. Why?
Because of what Jesus did for us.
Right. It's all paid for. Mm-hmm. Our bill was paid.
Yep. According to this verse, love is perfected among us. We can have boldness on the day of judgment because as He is, so are we in this world. So on the day of judgment, we're going to stand before God as who?
Just like Jesus.
Just like Jesus. As He is, so are we. When we die,
we are now.
In this world, right? So it's saying right now, as we are right this minute, we are the same as Christ. Now, we know that that means spiritually, right? In our spirit, we're one with Christ, we're the same as Him. But this has also implications to our physical bodies, our physical health as well, because we are the body of Christ, and healing is part of salvation, right? That's what this class is about, healing class. We know that healing and divine health are part of our salvation. As He is, so are we right now. If you could just keep that, if you can keep that in mind, Jesus isn't sick. The Holy Spirit living in Him was enough to keep Him just healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
until he willingly gave himself to the cross. That same spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in you is there to get rid of any sickness that's in you as well. It's a matter of, do we believe that? Do we trust? Do we understand God's love for us? His love, if we go on further to verse 18, there is no fear in love. And again, that's the agape love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So, in the agape kind of love, there is no fear. So we have to ask ourselves, if we fear something, if you have, all of a sudden you get a bad word from the doctor, you have this disease that could kill you, you know, there's an option we have right off the bat, right? We can either trust God and believe him, believe his love for me and his word is true, or we could go directly to fear, which wouldn't come from God, would it? Because perfect love casts out all fear. See, this is why it's important to not wait until you get a bad word from a doctor or something to start digging into this stuff, but to be always dwelling in the secret place. So that when that word comes, instead of going, and I know it's, most of us are going to go immediately to that, quickly, all of a sudden, the doctor says, you're going to die in 6 months. The fear starts gripping you. And I guess their natural mind kind of goes that way pretty easily. But if you think about it with the spiritual mind, the spiritual eyes, as soon as the doctor says something like that to you, win-win, right? Jesus already paid for this thing, so I can have healing from this, whatever it is, whatever the doctor's word is on this, not that big a deal. Again, I don't hit this perfect every time either, but I have other times where I'm better at it and times when I'm not. But if I'm dwelling in the secret place, my first response is, God's got this. Even if he didn't, what's the worst that can happen?
Dying, go to heaven.
Right.
That's the win-win, right? I mean, goodness. Heaven is awesome. Being in the presence of God and no more pain, no more disease, no more, I mean, you know, if you're going to die of something awful, well, that's the end of that. So, I mean, the worst that could happen is you die and you go to heaven. Well, that's where we're all headed and wanting to be anyway. So it's not really the worst thing in the world, but we can have healing. But if you are still working on a works mentality, like, maybe God doesn't love me perfectly because I don't do something perfect, then you can't really receive his love, right? This is saying that there is no fear. You're fearing that he doesn't love you properly. This says there is no fear.
And like, you know, on 19 it says, he first loved us.
Yes.
So, you know, if you think of it that way, there's nothing that we have done that prevents him from loving us.
Right.
Nothing that we've done that prevents him from loving us. So we love him because he loves us.
You're no surprise, right?
It's not something we have to do.
Right.
We love him because he loves us. He loved us. Mm-hmm.
You're no surprise to him, right? He knew your entire life from beginning till eternity before you were ever created. So that thing that you may have done that keeps clouding you up was no surprise to him. He knew it before he called you, but called you anyway, right? It was already taken care of before you were ever born. Jesus took that sin on the cross for you. The only one your sin is tripping up is you. It's not tripping up God. He's not surprised. He's not like, Carol did that? I can't believe it.
Again?
I can't believe it. No, I'm not getting healing to her. She can't get her stuff straight. No surprise to him. He already knew. He already knows the condition that we're in. He is always loving us, pouring his love out on us and his grace out on us. That's why it says, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Because it's an issue, it's a condition of our heart that's dealing with this stuff. We feel like an enemy, not because God does, but because we do. We need to understand his perfect love. See, If we're like him right now in our spirit, our bodies will respond to the faith that we have in his love and that truth. In other words, if you know how much he really loves you, you'll begin to operate in faith instead of fear. And you can trust that when his word says that healing is yours, you'll know it as fact for you. If you're still trying to do things based on whether you're hitting the mark right 100% of the time or not, you're going to not receive the healing or the love. In verse 18, where it says there's no fear in love, the word translated for no there is OU, which I have no way. I get, oh, I don't know. It means zero. There is zero fear in God's love. If you're not if you're experiencing fear, then you haven't been made perfect in his love. So if you're
his
feeling,
love makes us perfect.
That's right.
His love.
So if you're operating in fear in any way, shape, or form, it tells you that there's a condition of your heart that needs to be addressed, right? That you
don't
need
know
to
his love.
You need to press in and ask God, Lord, where am I? What am I doing? What am I holding back that is keeping me from accepting and receiving your perfect love? Because if you were walking in his perfect love and receiving his perfect love, you wouldn't have that fear. And that fear is going to keep you from receiving the blessings, the healing, and so forth.
Isn't that why in Ephesians 3 it says to pray that we know the love of God? Because that's mm-hmm. it. If we know the love of God, we are filled with him.
Let's go there. That was the next on the list, too. Oh. Yeah, topic, Carol, as always. Ephesians 3. While you're doing that, I'm going to read this to you. Romans 4:23 says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. And now this is talking about people, you know, talking about eating food sacrificed to idols and stuff like that, but it has deeper meaning also. For whatever is not from faith is sin. If you can't have faith that God loves you, you have fear. Fear comes from the opposite. It's not from love. It'd be from the enemy. And if you're operating from that, then that would be sin. And then you feel sinful, which again makes you feel guilty, and you're on that cycle again, that wheel, right? It's like a hamster in a wheel going round and round and round and round and round and round and round, and you never seem to get the things that God has in store for you because you're feeling guilty. You ask God for forgiveness, and you goof up again, and you're back on that wheel feeling guilty again. And
sometimes it's because we can't forgive ourselves.
Exactly. Exactly.
We want you to think it's too bad that God can't forgive us, so we hold it for ourselves.
Yeah, but is that true? Because he already forgave you, right? Before you were ever born.
Yeah. That's a hard one to get.
Right. But that's what we're trying to talk about. That's what we got to start to understand. It's not a surprise to him. It's on us. We need to, there's a condition of our heart if we're going in that direction that needs to be addressed, and we need to ask, Lord, dig into my heart, Lord, show me what needs to be healed so that I can receive your love. Okay, Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Does somebody want to read that?
I'll read it.
Go right ahead.
For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith.
Well, let's stop right there. That he can dwell, Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. It's always a faith walk for us. We don't see, we have to believe. And we need that love to help us to be able to see and walk by faith. Take those steps even though we don't see where they're going.
That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us.
Okay. So that we may be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. This is saying that to understand God's love for you, to believe and have faith in the love that God has for you, is what will bring you to be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. That's what we're all seeking, right? We want to be the fullness of God. We've already been given everything we need for life and godliness. That includes everything we need to be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. But if there's a heart conditioner there that's bringing us to fear, it needs to be addressed so that we could get to understand His love. So the key, again, a lot of times the things that's holding us back from receiving our healing is we don't fully walk in the love of God. We know it in our heads. We've read it. We know that Jesus loves me. This I know. Right? Because we heard it from kids. Because the Bible tells me so. But if you haven't heard God tell you so, then you're going to have a harder time walking it. Because faith comes when you hear the word. And that when it says when you hear the word, faith comes when you hear the word of God. That talks about the rhema word. In other words, when the word jumps off the page and gets in your heart, not just in your head, and you believe, yes, He loves me. When it says that His love is for me, you hear God speak it to you, that's where faith is ignited. You need to read the word, the logos, the actual written word, and get that into here so that it can go from here into here. But to live this kind of faith means that you're pressing in to hear Him speak the words to you. And once that happens, it's not just about, yeah, I've read it in the Bible and I know it's true. God spoke to your heart. It's going to be faith at that point. It's going to be like, I've got this thing. It's like a dog with a bone. You can't get that thing away from that dog, right? When God speaks something to your heart, He takes something off the page and puts it in your heart. Faith is ignited. It doesn't matter what anybody says. You heard from God and you're like a dog on a bone. Not giving that up. That's mine. And when you hear that about His love for you, all fear will be gone. And you can receive what He has for you, including healing and everything for life and godliness. Does that make sense? So we all have some homework to do, and we have it to do all the time. Because, I mean, I don't know anybody that never walks in fear. Does anybody perfectly fear-free all the time? I don't see any hands going up. That's a surprise. So we all have some work to do, right?
Before we end, I just want to put out, because you're talking about what prevents us from receiving our healing, I've been wanting to say our confession. Mm-hmm. If we don't confess that we are what God says we are, we don't have it.
Sure.
You have to say it. The righteousness of faith speaks. And what does it say? The word is nine. It is in my heart.
If you believe something, it's going to come out of your mouth, right?
Yeah.
The things that you really believe is going to come out of your mouth. And it won't be like you have to do it. It just be, it's going to flow out of your mouth.
You have to confess it, though. Yeah. According to God's word, I don't think there's any deliverance that we have from anything if we don't confess the truth, if we don't say it.
Had that very thing happen to me this week, like I was saying last week. If sickness comes on me, I just don't give it place. We talked about, don't give it a place in your life, right? This week I had woke up with a terrible headache in the middle of the night and the gut was bothering me. Stood on the word, I'm like, nope, this is not part of my salvation. It went away, I went through my day, and then it came back with a vengeance. Headache, achy joints, stomach was all messed up. I do what I always do, I ask Katie, I went downstairs, I started working out. And I made a couple runs upstairs in the middle of working out. And finally I said, you know what, I just can't do this workout today, but I'm still standing on the word. Nothing can get a hold of me. It just can't have me. And what was it, maybe 2-3 hours later, I was perfectly fine. Because I'm not giving place to it. I know God's word for me. I know His love. I know what's mine in salvation. And I won't be deterred. I won't let the enemy steal from me what's already mine. That's like that dog that's got the bone. I've got that revelation of faith. And that bone's in my mouth like a dog, and I'm not letting it go. So that's where we just need to get and stay, dwell there. So, yep. And I said all throughout the day, didn't I? Can't have me. It's not part of my salvation. It was my confession. If you believe it, you will speak it. If you believe it, it will come out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. It will be the only thing that comes out of your mouth. You don't say, Jesus is Lord, but, right? He just is. Once you knew Jesus was Lord, and he died for your salvation and your sins, there was no but in it. Same with the things that come with salvation, including healing. There won't be any buts. It'd be it is. Right. Father, thank you so much for being here and just guiding us in the conversation and giving us revelation of your word. Lord, help us if there's any part of our heart that is not open to you, to open our hearts to you and allow you to come in and heal those things, to draw us towards faith and not fear, healing and wholeness, not sickness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.